Merry Christmas. There's a lot of red out there. It's kind of cool to see. I wish you could all see it. Maybe you should take turns coming up and looking. We could. I didn't bring my phone up on purpose. Today we're going to talk about hope. Hope is a concept that for most of my life has been kind of a question mark. And actually, my wife and I, when we were dating, would talk about hope and how it's just kind of a weird idea. We use it so flippantly. We use it about so many things. And it's kind of elusive in its meaning sometimes, the way we use it. But hope is exactly what we have in Christ. And hope is come to fruition in this baby Jesus being born in that manger so long ago. And so today we're going to explore and dig into hope and the hope that we have through Christ and the hope that we have because God loves us so much. So if you pray with me, bow your heads, we're going to ask God to teach us about hope today. Lord, thank you. Thank you. God, we live in a world where we ignore your commands, we ignore your nudges. We put our hope in so many things that are temporary and foolish, and you consistently and doggedly pursue us. Thank you for loving us so much that you would come down and live on this earth as a human and die in our place. We could never thank you enough, Lord. Thank you so much. In Christ's name, amen. So hope is an interesting concept, right? It's something that we all experience all of our lives. There's something to it that's kind of hard to grasp because when you look it up in the dictionary, there's actually two kinds of hope. The dictionary uses a big term to say transitive and intransitive verbs. And in reality, what that means is there's a hope that we attain something, and there's also a hope for an emotion that we can attain. And so I can say, I hope that I get a toy train for Christmas, but then there's also like an undergirding hope that that toy train is going to do something for me. So to illustrate this, I thought I'd bring a story to you. It's one that I know pretty well. It's about a little boy named Brett. If you'd put that picture up there. That's right. That's the right response. It's a good guy right there. So that little guy right there, he was looking for a place to set his hope, right? And he's going, you know what would make my life better? Not just better, but complete? A puppy. If I could just get a puppy, then I'd have a best friend, I'd have someone to snuggle with, I'd have someone to tell what to do, right? And I had two brothers, I'm sorry, Brett had two brothers, an older brother and a younger brother, and these guys weren't very interested in a dog, and his parents were like, you're not really going to take care of it. We don't have enough space, stuff like that. So I would kind of try to solve that problem in any normal human way, which is to take slips of paper and say, life would be better if Brett had a dog, signed the President of the United States. That might find its way to my mom's toothbrush holder, right? It might be in the car when they got in it. I would work things into conversation really smoothly. I still do this. So, you know, we're sitting at dinner and they're talking about politics or Tom Brokaw's on the TV telling us something. And I'm going, you know what, guys? A dog would be really cool. And they're like, Brett, leave it alone. So fast forward though, right? I was so persistent that by the time we actually moved houses and we had a little tiny backyard and my parents were like, all right, Brett, we're going to go get you a dog today. They didn't even tell me beforehand. It was just one of those like, okay. So we went down to the pound, and I think you can call it that still, right? Shelter, whatever it is. And so we went down to the pound and said, Brett, you can choose whatever dog you want. And I went and I found the loneliest, most pathetic, kind of nasty little wiry haired, you could see its skin through the fur, dog, because I knew that one would love me, right? And So I remember sitting in the little kennel thing being like, this is the one. And my parents were like, that's real ugly. And I'm like, this is the one. And so then we came home. And if you want to show the picture of a boy and his dog, that's pretty close to when we got home. Now, here's the other side of the story. Okay, so I received the thing that I hoped for in this dog. But the bummer about this story is that very soon afterwards, it went from, it's going to be my best friend and my everything, to, hey, Brett, it's your turn to feed it. And I'm like, whoa, it's Matt's dog, right? Matt was my brother. He is my brother. And so the dog went about its life, and actually, sad to tell, I don't mean to break anyone's heart today on Christmas, but the dog is no longer with us, and I'm fine, right? Like, the dog was not, in the end, a fulfilling presence in my life to the degree that I thought it would be when I was that little boy that you saw there. It just wasn't. So that's where we go back to Scripture, because Christ is the ultimate hope that we hope for. From the very beginning, we look for things to put our hope in. And the curious thing about hope is that we have some say in directing what we hope for. And God has told his people throughout the beginning to put our hope in him and to put our hope in what he offers us. And he's been telling the Israelites since the Israelites started that he wanted to save them. He wanted to be their God. They would be his people. They failed him. So he said, I'm going to give you a Messiah. I'm going to give you a Savior. And they still failed him. And he said, you know what? Put your hope in me and I'm going to come to earth. And he prophesied this so many ways and they missed it so many ways. And this is where the Christmas story comes in. So if you turn with your Bibles, we're going to go back to Luke 2. Pastor Carlton started reading it for us to break it up a little bit. Because you don't want to be there too long. It's page 714 in your pew Bible, if that helps you find it. And we're going to pick up right where Pastor Carlton left off at the beginning of the service. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to go to verse 13. I'm just going to overlap with what he did for verse. It says this, suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification, we're in verse 22 here. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it's written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and offer sacrifice in keeping with what it said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him that by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at this, at what was said about him, their son. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and is to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul too. So I've read this passage many, many times. Luke 2 is one of the classic stories of Christ being born. Luke is the most detailed account of Christ being born. And until this year, when I was sitting in a Bible study a couple months ago, I had never paid attention to Simeon. I had never noticed the role that Simeon plays in the story of Jesus. Simeon models perfectly this ability to take hope, and he listened to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, I will show you who my chosen one is. And so he placed all his hope in this baby that was going to come, and he waited patiently. Can you imagine going to the temple day after day, looking at each baby going, nope, nope, nope. And then, I mean, he was home at this point, or he was somewhere else, because the Holy Spirit told him he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. Moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. His hope was so in the Lord. Simeon, as the Bible records it, wasn't gripped by a passion to get the next shiniest chariot, whatever it was, car, is what it would be for us, right? He wasn't looking at his wallet saying, if I only had another dollar, I'd have that hope. He wasn't looking at his household going, if I could just have that one more kid. He wasn't looking at anything that we typically find ourselves looking at. He was looking at the Lord, and he was looking for the Lord's Messiah. His hope was in the coming of this Messiah physically. He knew that would be a physical coming, and he also knew it would be the fulfillment of the hope of all the nations. In this, there's several verses that tie back to Isaiah and tie back to all sorts of prophecies that show that Jesus is not just going to be a fulfillment as the Messiah for Israel, but for all the nations. This is why we're celebrating today. There's a baby born, and as believers in Christ, as Christians, our hope is in this baby. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in God loving us so much that he sent his one and only son, and that we get to believe in him, and that he saves us from our sin. There's one more story I'd like to tell. It comes from a not-so-theological source. I've been watching The West Wing on Netflix, catching up on my 90s politics, and one character was in a bit of trouble, and the other character was helping him out. And he looked at him, and he said, why are you helping me like this? I don't get it. And the guy looks at him, and he says, let me tell you a story. There was a man who fell into a pit. And the pit had really steep walls, and the man could not reach up and couldn't get out on his own. And he was losing hope. So he looked up, and he saw that a doctor was walking by. And he said, hey, doc, can you help me out here? And the doctor looked down, and he was like, whoa, you're in a pit. And he's like, yeah, I'm in a pit. Can you help me? No, I can't help you. And he kept walking. And then a priest came walking up. And he said, hey, priest, I'm in a pit. And the priest said, yeah, you are. He said, can you help me? No, I'm sorry. And he keeps walking. And then a friend walked by. And the man in the pit says, hey, I'm in a pit. Would you mind helping me out? And the guy looks down. He's his friend, remember? And he looks in there and immediately jumps down into the pit. Now the friend that was already in the pit goes, what are you doing? Now there's two of us in the pit. But his friend looks at him and he says, no, don't worry. I've been here before. And I know the way out. And I came down here because I can show you the way out. That's the story of what God did in Jesus Christ. And that's what Simeon knew was going on when this Christ child was born. That's why our hope gets to be placed in Christ and in nothing else. So on Christmas morning, when we come here to worship and we come here to hear God's word, the one thing that I hope we leave doing is joining Simeon in proclaiming, this is the Messiah. This is the Christ child, and he was born, and he was here, and our hope is fulfilled in him. Not like a silly puppy for a kid, right? But real, true hope that we can grab onto and we can hold. And Simeon knew it, and we get to know it today. So we need to join Simeon in proclaiming that hope and proclaiming that our God sent his son that Christmas day. And that's what we're celebrating this morning.